Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. My name is Scott Thomas, pastor at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and your host today. I am glad you're listening because we're beginning a brand new theme together, From Death to Life, the Saving Power of the Cross and the Resurrection. Now, throughout this series, we're going to walk through passages that help us understand what God accomplished through Jesus Christ, His suffering, His death, and His resurrection. And all of these weeks, over the next 4 weeks, will lead up to, culminate in the Resurrection Sunday, into Easter Sunday. Now, the cross was, we just need to be aware, the cross was not an accident of history. The cross was the plan of God to bring life out of death. And today, we begin with one of the most remarkable passages in the entire Bible, Isaiah 53:5, a prophecy written 700 years before Jesus was born, a prophecy that describes a wounded Savior who would bring healing to sinners. But before we open the passage itself, I want to begin with a story that begins with a stone that was thrown into a cave. In the spring of 1947, a Bedouin shepherd boy was tending his flock of goats near the northwestern shore of the Dead Sea. The landscape there is harsh. It's rocky cliffs, dry desert air, sand, dirt, dust, and there's all of these caves that are carved into limestone hills. At some point during the day, the boy realized that one of his goats had wandered away. As shepherds often did, he began tossing stones into the openings of nearby caves, hoping the sound would scare the goat out. One of those stones landed inside a dark cave, but instead of hearing a goat, he heard something unexpected, the sound of breaking pottery. Curious, the boy climbed into the cave. Inside, he found large earthen jars, so these large pots. Made of hardened clay. Some of them were broken, but others were intact, and they contained ancient scrolls wrapped in cloth. What the shepherd boy discovered that day has become one of the most important archaeological discoveries in modern history. He discovered what we now call the Dead Sea Scrolls. These were hidden in caves for nearly 2,000 years. Among those scrolls was something extraordinary, an almost complete copy of the book of Isaiah, a manuscript copied over 100 years before the time of Jesus. And that discovery, it mattered for many reasons, but one reason that stands out is that it proved the words we read in Isaiah today are the same words that were written centuries before Christ ever came, which means the prophecy we are about to read was not written after the cross. It was written long before it. And yet it describes the suffering of Jesus with breathtaking clarity. Listen to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah writes these words, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." This is one of the clearest descriptions of the saving work of Christ in the entire Old Testament. It tells us something essential about the cross. Jesus did not suffer randomly. He suffered for us. And this is the heart of the gospel. The innocent suffering for the guilty. The righteous one standing in the place of sinners. But now, to understand the depth of what Isaiah is saying, we need to understand the context of Isaiah chapter 53. And we know, Lone Oakers, we know that context is both key and king. So let's not Let's not jump over the context, but let's dive in. Isaiah 53 sits in the middle of a larger section of Isaiah that scholars often call the servant songs. These passages describe a mysterious figure known as the servant of the Lord. This servant would represent Israel, but also stand apart from Israel. He would bring justice, he would restore God's people, but he would do so through suffering. Now, by the time we reach Isaiah 53, the prophecy becomes startlingly specific. The servant will be despised, rejected, a man of sorrow, familiar with suffering, and then Isaiah reveals this shocking truth. His suffering will not simply be tragic, it's going to be redemptive. Listen to the language of verse 5. He was pierced. He was crushed. The punishment was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. Every phrase points to profound theological reality. The servant is suffering in the place of others, which leads us to two important words in the verse, transgressions and iniquities. We are familiar with this verse. I've talked with people over the past days, and they're like, I know the verse, I just don't know the verse. Like, I'm familiar with the verse, and you're probably thinking the same thing. Like, I'm familiar with this verse, I just don't have this verse completely memorized. So I know it, but I don't know it. And most of us know, we have this idea of transgressions and iniquities, how he was crushed, how he was pierced, and the order of the words. Hopefully at this point in the week, you've got those solidified, but the order of the words have sometimes been amiss. Nonetheless, these words matter greatly. Let's talk about transgressions. Let's talk about iniquities because they help bring some weight to what Isaiah is saying, but they also bring gravity to what Isaiah's words mean for us individually. So Isaiah writes, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Let's talk about transgressions. The word transgression refers to rebellion. It describes crossing a boundary that God has clearly established. It's an outward thing in most instances. It is the language of defiance. When someone knowingly breaks God's law, when someone says, in effect, I know what God says, but I will do what I want, that's transgression. It is sin with a raised fist. And Isaiah says, this servant, he was pierced for our transgressions. So we say, God, I know what you say, but I'm going to do what I want anyway. Jesus paid the price, was punished because of that you did, that I did, that we did. Transgressions, outward. Iniquities, inward. Then Isaiah adds another word, iniquities. This word has a slightly different meaning, okay? It refers to crookedness or moral distortion. It speaks of the deep corruption of the human heart. Not just the sins we commit, but the sinfulness within us, our bent towards selfishness, our inward brokenness, our inability to live in perfect obedience to God. I'm sure you've had the same experience. At least I pray that you have. There's times where I'm in confession before the Lord and I'm confessing sins and talking through. And I thought, even this week, I had one of these instances on Tuesday morning, and I was in my prayer time, and I'm a journaler. I like to journal out my prayers, write them out. It helps me stay on track much better than just verbally praying. I don't think that we should even begin to entertain the thought that there's a right way or a wrong way. But in my world, in my mind, in my practice, writing out my prayers helps me stay on track. And so I'm writing through this prayer of confession, and there were just some sins in my life that the Lord had been convicting me of. And I just thought, Lord, I want to not have a heart that forgets. To be righteous, that forgets or refuses to stay on track, Lord, I want to be devoted to you, and I want to be disciplined in that. You know, we have a condition, a human condition. Our problem is not only what we do sinfully. Our problem is that we are sinful people. We rebel against God, and our hearts are twisted by sin, transgression. Iniquities, Isaiah says the servant would suffer for both. Now we arrive at one of the most important theological truths in this passage, the doctrine of substitutionary atonement. Notice the repeated language in Isaiah 53. Listen, it says, "For our transgressions, for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him." Now Isaiah is describing a transfer. Our guilt placed on him, his suffering standing for ours. This is the logic of the cross. And I say this, and I pray that you'll hear it. Substitutionary atonement is a doctrinal term that all Christians should know, right? Many Christians don't want to claim that they're theologians. Many Christians wouldn't admit to being doctrinal experts. But there are some terms that are so essential to our faith that we must know them. And substitutionary atonement is one of those. You need to hold on to this term. You need to file this one away. It is, in its simplest form, substitutionary atonement is atonement that was achieved because Jesus was our substitute. He stepped in and he did what we could not do. And Isaiah is describing this transfer. Our guilt was placed on him. His suffering stands in for ours. And he's showing the logic of the cross. Jesus, his death wasn't just an example of love. He died as a substitute for sinners. That punishment, it belongs to us, but it fell upon him. The justice of God wasn't ignored. It was satisfied, but it was satisfied in Christ. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So at the cross, Jesus took our place. He bears our guilt. He absorbs the judgment that we deserved. And in exchange, we receive something we could never earn: peace with God. Through the wounds of Christ, sinners are reconciled to God. Now Isaiah, he concludes this verse. Verse 5, he concludes this verse with a powerful statement. "By his wounds we are healed." The word "wounds" here literally refers to stripes from a beating, the marks left by violence. The suffering servant becomes the means of healing for others. And Isaiah, he is talking about physical healing. We know that Jesus Christ's suffering, his crucifixion, was a physical reality. But he's also talking about spiritual healing, healing from the deepest disease of the human soul, which is sin. This sin separates us from God, corrupts our hearts, leads to death. But through the wounds of Christ, God brings restoration. Restoration, so good. Forgiveness, so good. The account, the debt that should be held against us is taken away and dealt with. Reconciliation, to be renewed, to be able to come into the presence of God without shame, without guilt, without barrier. Jesus accomplishes this. And what it brings, forgiveness, restoration, reconciliation, it brings a new life. It's not just turning a new leaf over. It's not just getting a new lease on life. It gives you a new life. And this is one of the reasons that the cross stands at the center of the Christian faith, because it is there that the death becomes the doorway to life. And that's the theme of the series, From Death to Life. Isaiah 53, it reminds us that life does not come without sacrifice. Healing does not come without wounds. Redemption does not come without the cross. The Savior was wounded so that sinners could be healed. The Savior was crushed so that we could be restored. The Savior bore our sin so that we could receive His peace. And this prophecy, again, written centuries before Jesus walked the roads of Galilee, points unmistakably to him, to Jesus, to the cross, to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So today, this weekend, let me ask you a simple question. Have you trusted in the one Isaiah described, the wounded Savior, the one pierced for our transgressions, the one crushed for our iniquities, the one whose wounds bring healing. Because the message of Isaiah 53, it's not just ancient prophecy, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to come to Christ, an invitation to lay down your sin, to receive his forgiveness, and to move from death to life. My prayer is, if you have not trusted in Jesus, my prayer is if you have not received the life that comes only through Christ, my prayer is that during this time, in this season, that you would listen to the voice of God that's speaking in your heart, and that you would decide, I'm ready to be alive, I'm ready to be healed, I'm ready to be forgiven, and that you would trust in the work of Jesus Christ to bring healing. I want to thank you for listening to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. In the next episode, we'll continue exploring the saving power of the cross and resurrection and what it means for those who trust in Christ. But until next time, be mindful that God is shaping you by Scripture as you allow Scripture to come into your mind and plant it into your heart. And so know God's Word in your mind and hold God's Word in your heart, and may He continue to shape you by Scripture.